In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There seem to be any number of ways in which our contemporary society pushes us into no-win situations or catch-22 circumstances. We're faced with demands and expectations impossible to reconcile. I won't elaborate on how this seems to be affecting our national politics at the moment, otherwise we'd be here all day and emerge in a very bad temper indeed. But just in our ordinary dealings with one another, we seem increasingly to be faced with a bit of a standoff. Most of us really, deeply and passionately long to be recognised. We'd like to be seen and to be heard and to be taken seriously. A great deal of the unrest, justifiable unrest in our world, comes from persons and communities who feel they have not been seen or recognised. They want to be known for who they are. But at the same time, we're most of us very nervous about being known as we really are. We'd like to be recognised, yes, but preferably on our own terms. We'd like to be recognised, but not perhaps recognised for the very unsatisfactory individuals we are. We'd like to keep a certain amount in reserve. And so we have the culture familiar to all of us, where everybody wants their profile to be visible, and everybody wants to manage that profile in terms that suit them. And you have the no-win situation that tends to prevail in the world of social media, where we all very much want to be seen, and we all very much want to be in control of what is seen about us. The reason we're so uneasy about being seen and known in other people's eyes and other people's minds is perhaps that it comes very close to the idea that we're being seen through. Our pretenses, our own happy and satisfying versions of ourselves, will be exposed to what they are, comforting illusions. People will see what they really are and they'll no longer be impressed. Instead of seeing the calm, cool, intelligent, fashionable, personable, popular person that we would like to be, they see, let's just say, something else. The something else that we see in the mirror every morning. We know, or we think we know, that the people we mix with will be rather gratified, rather relieved when they have seen through us. When they know that we, like them, are pretty unsatisfactory human beings. And we suspect that they, these other people looking at us, might be quite happy to make capital out of this, to use what they know against us. So we try to pull back what can be known and what can be seen. We try to manage the picture that we give. We do and we don't want to be known. But that's language which runs through this morning's gospel in a very searching, very challenging way. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says that he knows his sheep. He recognizes those whom he calls to be part of his community. And he is known in the Bible. They recognize him for who he is. And he says something still deeper. He says that he knows God the Father and is known by God. It's as if Jesus is challenging us in this gospel to think again, to think more deeply about knowing and being known. I know the Father knows me, says Jesus. In other words, Jesus says to us, imagine that at the heart of everything, there is a relationship of complete openness, complete unequivocal trust. Imagine that at the heart of all things, God, the Source, the Father, looks at God, the outpouring Word, the Son, the everlasting love that is His. And that everlasting Word looks back, and there's no barrier, there's no veil. These two great divine, what do we call them? We say persons, but we can't think of anything better. These two great divine agencies look into one another, and there's no fear, and there's no holding back, there's no separation, but a deep, eternal, mutual recognition, an absolute love and trust. What if, says Jesus, that is the relationship that dictates everything that there is? That mutuality, that fearless looking. And Jesus turns to us and says, I am inviting you to have that sort of relationship with me. I'm inviting you, says the Lord, to believe that you are seen, you are indeed recognized. I look at you and I know who you are, and I know what you're like. And I'm never going to turn away or use that knowledge to destroy or undermine you. I am with you and in you and working for your life and your healing. I know you and I love you. Not just I know you, but I love you. I can just about manage to put up with you. I know you and I know you, says Jesus. You can trust what I say to you. You can trust what I say about God and my Father, because I trust God. Into that circle, knowing and being known, we are invited. It's a pretty bold bid, I think, for those who are stuck in that anxiety about being known. To be told that God knows us through and through doesn't always feel like good news. Earlier generations were familiar with those little worked, embroidered boards on the wall with a large eye and the words, Thou God seest me, which can't have been terribly encouraging. As if God is a kind of cosmic spy, always knowing what we'd rather he didn't. But what if that knowing and that seeing was always shot through with a compassion that would transform us? What if God knows us and is never going to use that knowledge? Because God has no interest, no purpose, except our life and our healing. What if? The act of faith is the act of deciding to believe that what if and put our trust there. Yes, we are known. Yes, we are recognized. At the very heart of the universe is recognition and knowledge, the Father and the Son and the Spirit bound together in mutual openness and absolute love. And because of who Jesus is, what Jesus does, we are able to be confident that we are never unseen, unrecognized. Whatever our experience is, positive or negative, whatever our sense of ourselves is, positive or negative, that steady, loving gaze never turns from us, and that steady, loving action never ceases to work in us and draw us into life. In this Easter season, celebrate that foundation for our trust, which is God's act in raising Jesus from the dead. Jesus has, so to speak, drawn out of human beings, some of the very worst they can do. Jesus has drawn out of us our own reluctance to love and be loved, our own fear of life and healing. Jesus has been rejected, violently turned out of the city that we inhabit, murdered and hung up as a warning to others. And he has not looked away, and he has not washed his hands of us, and he has not ceased to look upon us in grace and mercy. He comes back in his risen body and embraces the very disciples who deserted him and betrayed him. That's why we can trust the Christ who knows us to be the Christ who loves us. It's why we can trust the God who knows us to be the God who loves us. Why we need not be afraid of being seen. We are recognized for who we are and valued for who we are. And we are judged also, but still loved. Truthfully, without illusion, without sense. The good news of Easter is all there in that illumination, that revelation of truth and knowledge. In the Eastern Orthodox Church, the week after Easter is rather wonderfully called Bright Week. It's radiant week. It's the week when light has finally dawned. We have finally got it. This is what God is like, to be trusted. And what we need to know about God is first and foremost just that. He is to be trusted. His knowledge of us is never other than a loving knowledge. And that loving knowledge is never other than a loving action. So in this bright season, the season of radiance and illumination, we know who we can trust and why. And because the insight of the gospel is never just an insight about things out there, about God independent of us, the brightness and the radiance has something to say about us and our relationship. How do we build trust with one another? How do we assure others that they are seen and recognized and loved in that way? I said earlier that so much of the conflict and suffering of the world comes from people, individuals and communities, feeling they're not recognized, they're not known for who they are. So we as Christians have a deep responsibility to look out for and to listen to those who believe they are not recognized. Maybe the biggest seller in the streets of Cambridge. It may be the suffering community on the other side of the world. Those who believe themselves forgotten by people in the wealthy. It may be our Christian brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka or Pakistan facing persecution. Maybe other communities like those in the synagogue in San Diego, the Jewish people, who so readily feel and so understandably feel that we as Christians ignore or despise them. Locally and globally, our task is to let people know that they are known and recognized and valued, and so to respond to them that they will never feel our knowledge or understanding is a bid for power over them, an attempt to gain advantage or satisfaction for ourselves. We have been recognized and known by God in Christ. We can take something of that loving recognition, that fusion of clarity and charity into our relations with one another and our world. When we so act, so perceive and relate, then we are truly in the flock of Christ the Good Shepherd. That community which, as the Lord says in the Gospel, constantly seeks to embrace more and more apparent strangers, those who are not of this fold, to bring everyone into a global community of deep recognition and unqualified love. The love of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to whom be glory and dominion, thanksgiving and praise, now as Easter season.